Okay. Welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, May 5th, 2025, regular business meeting. Call to order time is 6:08. Administrator Smith, if you could call the roll.
Administrator Smith, present. Fire Chief Cahill, absent. Fiscal Officer Ross, absent. Trustee Van Haren?
Here.
Trustee Reese?
Present.
And Trustee Dick?
Here.
And
Kathy will be here shortly.
Kathy will be joining us.
Okay, if you could all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first up we have approval of minutes. I grouped them, the four together. We were all here for those four.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at the meeting, everybody thought these were okay. Maybe except for the 29th. Did you guys have any comments on those?
No, I don't. Do you,
Beth?
Okay, so we need a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion.
I'll second the approval of the minutes.
Thank you, ladies. Any discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yes.
Trustee Reese?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Okay, and then the 4-1 business meeting. Trustee Van Haren, you were absent for that.
Right.
So you will still vote, but likely abstain. So if you don't want to abstain, you don't have to, but I put it in there.
Okay.
Okay, so we need a motion.
Motion.
Thank you. And a second.
Well, you have to second.
Oh, I'll second it. Yep, right. Mm-hmm. I will make the second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion.
All right, Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Van Haren?
Abstain.
Trustee Reese?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0 with one abstain. Okay, report from the Miami County Sheriff's Department deputy. I'm seeing no one from the department here. If they come in, we can come back to that. Next is the report from the fire department. Did you want to read that for him?
Yeah. So in April, there were 40 total runs. There were 6 mutual aid calls given, 13 mutual aid calls received. There were 3 building fires, 2 motor vehicle accidents with injuries, and 3 overpressure rupture or a boiler from air or gas. And then the rest appear to be EMS calls within the township and surrounding partner agencies.
I think one building fire.
One.
Oh, I'm sorry, one building.
Yeah, it's on
one
there.
Building fire. Yes.
It's on there.
You're
received
correct.
Mutual aid from 3 people.
That is
yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're correct.
Okay, and I asked, he did not have anything that he wanted us to say for him.
I asked as well.
So. So next up is the report from Planning and Zoning.
All right, so since the last report, there have been 5 applications, zoning certificate applications have been received. As of this report, we are up to 11 for the year. The Board of Zoning Appeals will have 1 case before it in May. The case is going to be conditional use 0225, which is a request from a joint request from Derek Fink, who is the owner, the current owner of the property, and the Association of Islamic Charitable Projects, who is the applicant. The property in question is 7045 U.S. Route 40 in Tip City, Ohio, 45371. The application is for a conditional use as a religious place of worship contingent upon the sale of the property to the applicant.
Isn't that already?
So there is currently a conditional use permit for a religious place of worship, and it is currently being run as a church. However, the Bethel Township Zoning Resolution states that a conditional use permit shall cease to be valid at such time as the premises for which it was issued is no longer occupied by the holder of said permit or a change of ownership has occurred. So, even though it currently has a conditional use and is being used as a place of worship, once it sells, the new owner will be required to obtain the same permit. The reason that we're doing it this way, with a joint application between the current owner and the applicant, is the applicant reached out to me and was concerned that when they applied for it after they took ownership.
Oh, they'd start back again.
Well, yeah, and they were afraid that they may not, you know, I couldn't guarantee them that they would be approved even
right,
though.
Right, yeah. No, that's a good
point. It currently has a conditional use on it for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. So even technically, this the same thing will happen. It's still going to change ownership, but he did some research and they said this is the best way to do it with the understanding that it's going to be for the new owner.
Correct. Yeah. I talked to Dan Cernick at the county and he advised me that this is the best way to do it on a contingency, and that way they have an answer whether or not they're going to be able to use the property for their intended purpose before they obviously invest the funds to purchase it.
Okay.
There are no zoning commission applications in process, and therefore the Bethel Township Zoning Commission will not meet in May. As I said, there are 11 zoning certificate applications received so far in 2025. There are 9 variances that have been requested. 7 of them have been approved. 2 conditional uses have been requested. 1 has been approved so far. And there has been one zoning amendment requested in 2025, and it was not approved. The Miami County Planning Commission is meeting May 20th at 7 p.m. There are no Bethel Township cases on the agenda for that meeting. Again, Bethel Township Board of Zoning Appeals will meet with 1 case on the agenda. That meeting will take place May 22nd at 6:30. No zoning commission meeting for the month, and there are no cases for the Board of Trustees for May. And that concludes the zoning report.
Thank you. And now the report from the Township Administrator, who coincidentally is also you.
Thank you. There are 4 resolutions on the agenda for the evening. The first is to replace the no parking signs in Wiley Industrial Park. Next is to discontinue cemetery burial site sales in Bethel Township maintained cemeteries. Then is a resolution to hire an attorney other than the prosecuting attorney to help primarily with zoning cases. And the final resolution is to record the electronic payments and warrants for March. Reminder of upcoming events in the township. The Historical Society meets Wednesday, May 7th, starting at 6. They meet on the first Wednesday of each month. And of special importance, voting is tomorrow, May 6th. Polls open at 6:30, and they will be open until 7:30 p.m. tomorrow evening. All precincts vote at Bethel Schools. Enter the building around the back at the Hive entrance. And that concludes the administrator's report.
All right, thank you. Trustee reports. Trustee Van Haren.
I am working on a drainage issue on West Charleston Road. We've been talking about this for a solid 2 years now. And did meet with a contractor on Friday, I think, and Cody was there with me. And we found the prints. We found the detailed outline of what's supposed to be happening. I've reached out to the property owners, and I'm going to meet with all of them this week. They do need to sign even though we're working in the right-of-way for the most part, we will be working in their yards, so we do need permission for that. And they also need to be aware of that. And also, tomorrow is Election Day. I don't know if it's Issue 1 or Issue 2, but it is on the ballot. It is for renewing state. It's a state issue. And it's been on the ballot since, I think, 85. It's a 10-year bond. It's on your taxes. But it pays for, basically, OPWC funds, which are Ohio Public Works Commission. We have, as Bethel Township, been the recipient of those funds for numerous projects, road repaving, water and sewer infrastructure. So if you're going tomorrow to vote, I just want to explain what that issue was. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Okay. I'm next. So here's some of the meetings and things I attended. The Bethel School Facilities Committee kickoff meeting on April 9th. Most of the discussion was to establish a charter and then the items to be looked at during future meetings. So I encourage any community members to come to those meetings to give their input for what they want the school to look like in the future. I attended the Miami County Comprehensive Plan meeting. The action items did not include a stop annexation bullet, so I asked about that. And a particular note, West Milton has developed their own plans for 20-year growth areas and 50-year growth areas, which maybe we can learn something from them. I attended the Bethel School's work session on 414 and the regular meeting on 421. The big thing that came out of that is the fifth grade kids are moving back from they're moving from the new K-5 back to the old elementary school for the 2025-2026 school year. So that new building out of space. On April 17th, I attended the MVRPC Zoom meeting to discuss changing the facility planning area to give the 296 acres that Huber annexed from us to the company who services Huber, which is the Tri-Cities North Regional Wastewater Authority. So we will not be supplying water or sewer to the 296 acres.
And when you say we, you mean the county?
We, the county, yeah, the township doesn't own any water, mm-hmm. but the county, we, the county or Bethel Township will not be supplying water and sewer to those homes. I attended the OTA training session on what House Bill 315 means for zoning. That was on April 22nd. The big item, of course, is the switch from having to publish notices in a physical newspaper. Now they will be published online on the website and also on our social media. The following day, I attended another OTA training on new community authorities. This is something that Huber Heights has talked about using on the 296 acres. And also townships can do new community authorities. But it's common to use these new community authorities alongside tax abatements. And like I said, this is what Huber's planning on doing. On 4/24, the trustees met with the zoning boards to kick off review of our current zoning resolution. The zoning boards will continue to meet and recommend the changes they feel are needed at this time. We're also looking for community input. If anybody has anything they would like to see changed in the zoning code, please bring that to our zoning director and he will get them to review it and see if they want to recommend any changes for it. And then on April 30th, I went to give proponent testimony to the House in Columbus for House Bill 113, which is an annexation reform bill. Several citizens of the township, along with Commissioner Westfall and Farm Bureau members also testified. We only had 3 minutes each, which is not nearly enough to say it all. But the good thing was we didn't overlap each other too much. And there was also several folks from Batavia Township who are being annexed by Batavia Village in a similar manner, where the village is getting a lot of the revenue, mostly from tax income, from income tax. And the Batavia Township is getting all the burden of that annexation. So that was interesting. They had many of the same complaints because they had no say and the burdens are falling to them. So next up on that bill is the opposition to the bill will come and speak. And on that bill, I'd like to thank our Representative Newman and the bill co-sponsor, Representative Byrd, for proposing and getting the bill this far. And also thanks to Commissioner Wade, the Farm Bureau folks, and the Bethel Township citizens who took their time to go testify or to submit written testimony. And that's all I have. Trustee Dick.
Okay, well, last Friday, Cody and I spent the morning on in the Winter Hill subdivision, and we're trying to work with the county engineer's office to get the water problem there again somehow rectified. We spent a good couple hours there just looking at the maps, trying to figure out what is still in existence, what we need to repair, how we need to maybe renovate. Going down the road on Newberry, Wyndham's pretty much a done deal. It's got storm sewers and so forth, but we don't have that on Newberry and we don't have anything on Winter Hill. So right now we're gonna wait for the county engineer to come up with some sort of a plan that we can maybe look at and implement to try to address the problem there. A lot of the problem is due primarily to the fact that we've got significant runoff from the water. A lot of the culverts that should have been lined down the road are no longer there. People have just filled them in and the water's just kind of setting or it runs back onto the road. So we have to address that so that we can get a good constant flow of the water out of people's yards. And as I said, I talked to several of the neighbors that morning that I was there along with Cody, and we did listen to their concerns. It is kind of frustrating because we have several problems with water right now. And our focus is right now at this point on Winter Hill and trying to rectify it. We did West Charleston Road last year, and Beth's handling that now. We're going to try to focus on Winter Hill this year and maybe Bethelville maybe next year. So that's my plan as the roads person for this year, is to maybe try to figure that out as best I can and then move on to something that we're having another problem with, which would be Bethelville as well. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Okay, the financial reports. Do you want to talk about those? So I did not include the credit card one because the bill just came today. So for those watching the credit card, what we charge for the credit card, it will be on next month's agenda. Yeah. So all that's in there today is the receipts that came. Anything you want to say about those?
No.
Nothing special. Okay. So the discussion issues were going to be Winter Hill drainage.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about that?
Well,
we kind of covered that.
We did look at the maps, and we did get something back from County Engineer's office. We are, my goal would be to try to open up the culverts all along Newberry, and then swing that around Winter Hill, and then if we need additional catch basins to move the water over to, one of the catch basins is taking it over to actual Wyndham right now into their storm sewer system. But if we can get it back down to Ross Road in one part of the roadway, and then if we can swing it around Winter Hill side over to the storm sewer at the corner of Winter Hill and Wyndham with the other direction, because there, as most of you know, there's a slight hill there that lets water run partially towards Ross Road and then partially back towards Winter Hill. If we, and I, you're looking at me like I'm but if you had been there, you'd seen. So it's not a huge noticeable hill, but there is a hill there. And so at that point, if we can get it moving in one direction and then moving in the other direction, we think we can maybe stop it from flooding that area of Newberry where the one catch basin is just overwhelmed. I can't do anything about the storm or the lines that are in the farmer's field. The engineers seem to think that those were partially blocked, but we don't fix lines on private property. That's just not something we do. That's up to the owner to do that, and if they don't do it, then you know there's not much I can do about it. I have to carry the water away somehow, and my goal is to try to open up those culverts, which are closed now. Most a good portion of the residents on that particular street have either filled in what was a culvert, and they don't have the right size pipe under their drives. Some of them don't even have pipe under their drives, according to the engineers who are out there. That has to be a consistent 12 inches. That's the county code. It's been the county code for 30 years. So if we can get that rectified, get the right size pipe under the driveways, get the culverts opened on both sides of the road, and then make sure that the catch basin that takes us over to Wyndham is open, and there are two. If we can get that done, and hopefully that'll take care of at least most of the problem there. The rest of the problem is coming from the fields and the tile that's there, and some of it's busted, some of it's working fine, some of it is non-existent. So, you know, we don't have control over that. We can't fix that. We can only deal with what's along the roadway there, and we're going to try to fix that as best we can. The other thing that we had talked about was the township does have a backhoe. We do have a nice operator here who can use that backhoe. Depending upon the schematics that we get back from the county engineer's office, I don't know whether we can handle that repair ourselves or that modification to the streets ourselves, or whether we'll have to contract that out. If we have to contract that out, then we're going to have to look at numbers to see how much we can afford to spend on it. And that's really where the problem could be, is the amount of money. I know Beth had dealt with this, you said over the last 20 years, several times, and it's just so expensive.
Yeah, so the north of there, which not all of that plat drains north, but mm-hmm. some of it does, mm-hmm. They just put in a new tile system. The farmers together, Landis and Hensley together, put in a pretty big tile system, but if, is that where you think it's clogged?
That's where they seem to think it's clogged there.
Did you call the Landis's or the...
No, Landis's? We have not. We just met with the engineers that day, and they are supposed to come up with a plan for the area, and then we'll start doing the work on the property owners.
I bet they put that in 5 or 6 years ago.
That sounds right based on what town engineers.
Okay, and I can call them and see if they're willing to go out and check it out, and, you know, see if they have any, you know, dips or, you know, where it's failed. I feel like it's so new, relatively speaking, that it probably isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't, but you never know. So.
Well, I think we should wait until we get the prospectus back on from the county and let it. I'd like to know what it is they're recommending that we
sure.
do
mm-hmm.
before we go knocking on the door saying, please help us fix your...
Well, but if it's their tile, they
it
can
is
at
their
least
tile. Yeah.
check on
yeah.
it to, you know. But they will have wet areas in their field then if it's
yeah, they
collapsed.
Yeah, they
so.
Were there. And as I said, on the east side of Newberry, I actually talked to the owner we walked out into the field where the big catch basin is. We walked out into that field, and it's obvious that they have tried to build that up so that the water doesn't run back into the backyards of Newberry. And they're still getting water. I mean, the water when I was over there talking with him was in almost in his garage completely, he said. Mm-hmm. That was you, right? So
there's
yeah.
a catch basin in the field?
No, they've created a swell, and that swell was supposed to stop the water from running back to his property, and essentially it hasn't.
It just acts as a dam.
Right, it's actually...
And it just... it flooded twice,
mm-hmm.
in, mm-hmm. like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. when we had heavy rains. It flooded, it would drain, and it flooded again because it rained so much. But it's like a dam,
mm-hmm.
and it stops just about halfway to my neighbor to the south,
mm-hmm.
and the water just comes around that in between our yard to the culvert.
Mm-hmm.
So whose property is the swale on?
It's on the farm.
The dam.
And it's up for sale.
The county or whatever. It could be, you could build a dam all the way down to Ross Road,
mm-hmm.
and it's just going to create a pond.
Right. And then didn't you tell me that the one side, the house, if you're facing your house to the right, there is a catch basin at the back of that property?
That's my house.
Yeah, okay, that's your house, right. Yeah. So,
what's your address?
7825.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I walked that down today.
Mm-hmm. And there's a catch basin at the edge of your property next to the field?
Yes.
Yes.
It's in the northeast corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Northeast corner.
Okay.
And then across the street on the west side of Newberry, one of the owners, I think, is here tonight as well, told me that in the back of their yard, there's also a catch basin that one of the property owners has put in. That would be you. So there are catch basins there to facilitate the runoff getting over to Wyndham, but for some reason it's just not getting there. I can see visually a lot of the reason is that we don't have the culverts there to hold the water. But then again, you know, if we're having people with catch basins in their yard and it's still not carrying the water to where it needs to go, there's another problem someplace else. So.
I think I've walked dog a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these houses, even on when
yeah.
discharging sump pumps out
yeah.
into them.
Yeah, and the county engineers.
And if you've got standing water after heavy rain, you know, your sump pump's going to work until the water table goes down.
That's right. And
so
we,
you're going to have standing water in some of these yards regardless.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because mine pumps into the culvert.
Yeah, we discussed that with the county engineers. That both of them were out there, Britt and Dan were both out. And that's common in our community. As long as the sump pumps don't drain onto the actual roadway, they're fine with it. They can even just, you know, it can even run into the culvert itself, and there were a couple that were. So as we walked along that street, you could see there's lines that are actually running from houses into what was the culvert, and you could see it shoot out, and then boom, you know that's the sump pump for houses.
Did you put that catch basin and culvert in yourself? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. And you dump it to the ditch in the front of your house?
It goes underground, and then it connects to the, there's a big basin in the front, and that's where it connects.
Okay, it's directed to the...
Yeah, that directs to the
catch basin on my driveway.
Right.
The big
one.
Right.
And is that the same case for the other one? Does it take the water out to somewhere else?
Are you talking to her?
No. Didn't you say the guy in the back?
Yes.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Does yours...
The basin that's by the corner of our, it takes it to the back, and I think there's, drain pipes going that way, and then my neighbor's got that big grate there.
He lives across the street from me.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it takes it back there, and then it goes
the water comes,
way.
The water invades from the field into that catch basin, and then it goes to the one across the street, underneath the street that is,
mm-hmm.
and where it goes from there.
So you didn't put yours in, though?
No.
Okay. The catch basin that's in their front yard, we did.
Right,
okay?
I gotcha.
But his
okay.
neighbor that abuts at the back of their property has their own in.
Okay.
They put it.
And
put
is that does that feed something, or
that
does it
feeds
have a
over
cistern?
To Wyndham.
It also feeds something.
Yeah, it goes over to Wyndham.
But
and
we
just
get such a crush of water,
mm-hmm.
flood of water,
right.
and heavy rains. We got flooded when we were moving in 20 years ago. The day we moved in.
Yeah.
I was pissed, but then I got used to it.
Yeah.
It's like living in the country. Okay.
Right.
You know, I was born and raised with a storm sewer system. It just didn't exist on the street, so I've learned to live with it.
Right.
So there's a property at the end of Ag and Broad. It's not at the end, but where Ag and Broad hits Palmer,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's all low. It
mm-hmm.
all feeds down that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the last house along Palmer, they have a catch basin that feeds a cistern.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get flooded.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's also...
That wasn't mentioned to us about...
I don't think that's common. I'm just saying I know that one house right there, because everything
kind of
leads
down
to that house.
Yeah. So... Go ahead.
Just could be a.
It could be
an
a
idea.
Remedy.
Yeah, it could be an
so
idea.
The ditch in front of your house, per Ohio law, is your responsibility. That's just how the Ohio law works. We, the township trustees, are responsible for the drainage under the road. If we did a ditch petition to fix this issue and could find a solution, it's very flat. As you know, you're getting a ton of drainage coming off of that field. We would require all of you, your entire neighborhood, to sign something that said, we will not fill in this ditch ever. We did that on Wonderway. When we repaved the road, it caused the drainage to not go in the way that it was supposed to, because we added extra height, and people had filled in their ditches. So we unfilled the ditches, regraded the ditches, and I love it. I know everybody loves having a super smooth, flat yard, but really there's hardly any fall there, and so any fall that you can get is helpful. I mean, that water has to go somewhere. And like Kama said, if the county's minimum size requirement for the tile under your garage, under your driveway, is 12 inches, and somebody puts 4 inches, you're just, all you're doing is creating a problem for your neighbor or yourself. So, and sadly, that plat was built, I think, in the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
before
yep.
anybody really thought about drainage as maybe a long-term issue.
It was probably a wetland.
Right.
Probably.
That's why the farmers didn't want it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how
that's where all our plats are.
Yeah. And then the other thing that happens is a lot of times people have drainage tiles in their backyard, or in the front yard, side yard, wherever, but because they've been there, your houses have been there for so long, and your trees have been there so long, those roots actually do grow into them. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever torn one up, but it's like a whole tangle of just, it looks like hair or something that's just matted in there. And that also inhibits the flow. I mean, almost constricts the flow, inhibits it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Culvert or that drain mm-hmm. there at the mm-hmm. corner.
The tile, yeah.
And the neighbor's lot. I really don't know whose lot it's on. I think it might be people beside us. But anyway, that water is coming from all directions.
Mm-hmm.
And that water, no swell is going to handle that because the water is so high.
Mm-hmm.
It's over the road. It is, it's just a disaster.
Mm-hmm. What's your address?
7750 Newbury Road.
She's at the corner.
When it rains a lot, the water comes out of that field, comes down between Ray's and their yard, and then you can see the grate. The water starts coming up, and eventually it goes down the road, goes around the outside of our garage, around our house, and it does. It looks like a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got a moat going around.
Well, it was obvious when we were out there that you had the problem. I mean, I think I talked to you about it. I could see it. And again, my goal is to try to fix it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can only do so much because of the responsibility the township has dealing with private property. We can only do so much. But my goal is to open up both sides of the street and then make sure that the culverts drain into the existing catch basins we have. Now, I'm hoping that it doesn't come back from the county engineer's office that we have to redo the catch basins and make them larger to accommodate more water or whatever. That was a possibility. I mentioned that because the one that is on your lot is probably the biggest one that's there. And, you know, it also kind of ponds out, so you get a lot of surface area right there.
That field drains like right there. They're two house away from me. It's just where that field drains.
But the one across the street, now there are two, actually there are three right in that across the street from you. There are three, and two of those are abandoned. So there's no water. If it goes into there, it's not going anywhere. The one that directly goes across from the one that's in the corner of your yard, that's open. And it carries over to Wyndham. But the other two, they're not. So, you know, there could be a possibility that we might be able to maybe open those and carry the water from those two areas, tie it into the existing one that does go over to Wyndham, and that would eliminate some of the problem. It goes over to their storm sewer and it gets carried all the way down to Ross Road. I'm willing to look at that as well. They're looking at a plan that might have us doing that. But those two on that side of the road are not working. So that's a big deal for sure.
And one more thing to consider, it looks like you got, I think I just looked at your house online, you bought that from the Landises, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And did you add that a detached garage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of times from the time in 1950 when this was built, then people added additions, people added detached garages. We've had this in probably four, if not five, different properties that I can think of. Your contractor goes out there, puts in your accessory building, and tears up a tile, doesn't know it, it's not intentional by any stretch of the imagination, just does, because we did not keep great records of them back in the day. And then for a while, if it's dry, it's fine. And if one person does it, that's fine. But once three or four or five get built up, it makes it even worse. So, I mean, I'm just saying it exacerbates your problem over the years, in addition to the crazy rains that we've been having. But all that is not helpful to the drainage situation.
Well, it's also not helpful if people don't maintain their yards.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've got sycamores, like we're a sycamore 6th Street on Newberry. The 70 years ago, the contractor decided he was going to plant sycamores. They got leaves this big.
Yeah, and probably roots super long.
And the people just don't maintain their swales and their drains. I built a little fence around ours,
mm-hmm.
just to keep it clear.
Yeah.
All winter long. I turned it down in the spring.
And that was part of the problem at the far end of Winter Hill, at the T down there. We did find two of the catch basins that were clogged. And so once those are open, and you can see one yard in particular in his ditch that he's got, he's full of leaves as well. So if you're not going to keep that clean, you're not going to get a constant flow to carry the water away. It's just not going to happen. But I think that if we work with the county and we do some fixes that I see, and I'm not an engineer, but I can visually, as I told you guys, the ones that I talked to personally out, you know, I can see in my mind what I think needs to be done. And having the county engineer out just reiterated what I thought needed to be done because they were on the same page as I was. And it makes it easier when you have an understanding of how the water should flow and what we need to do to make sure that it gets carried away over to either Wyndham or down to the other end of Ross Road. And we're willing to try to help facilitate that as to the best of our ability. But we're also limited as to exactly what we can do. But that doesn't mean we're not gonna try. We're gonna try to fix it and do the best we can do. Once we get their plan, that's our goal. Or that's my goal, I can't speak for the other two.
Over there on Ross Road where they're building all those new homes,
mm-hmm.
and didn't they put a new drainage system from over to that side to our side?
Where on
like Ross?
Where?
Underneath the road.
Where on Ross?
It'd be at
the
kind
end of
Ross.
All those new homes they had built over the last, I don't know how many years. Then they put new pipes going under the road to get rid of their water, and it's coming
and
our way.
Coming
too.
Our
you mean
way
east of Pisgah?
East of Pisgah. Are you talking
east of Pisgah, or where are you?
Directly across the road from your
as
flat?
You come out of Newbury, right across the road where they built a lot of those.
Okay,
new
he's talking about Ross Road, the five houses, Bowman.
There's you are required to keep the drainage flowing in the direction that it's supposed to be going. So I have no idea. If it was already the natural flow was under Ross, I mean, let's face it, all that flow is eventually going towards the Great Miami River,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. I don't know. I have no idea if there's a tile under that road or not. I know that just east of there, for that house that has kind of the pond right now when
mm-hmm.
it's raining, even though I know you all feel like you have a pond too.
The blue house right
there.
Yeah,
bluish gray,
yeah.
His drainage naturally was going that way. So he does have a tile underneath. In fact, I don't think he put that in. I think the tile was already there. I don't know about the other houses. I don't know. I doubt that a single individual house rerouted their drainage under the road. I'm guessing that the tile was probably already there before those homes were built.
And Wyndham and Newbury both have the storm sewer cutouts that come all the way over to Ross and run down towards Miami.
Yes.
So both streets do have them at the end of the streets. You can see the round tops on Newbury. And then on Wyndham, you can see the actual drainage storm sewer opening on both sides of that street. So it goes down and carries down to Miami it would be the north side of Ross Road. Now on the south side of Ross Road, I've never seen anything on the south side. But I do know that on the north side, they are there at the corner because I was out there and walked it.
I don't know.
I did get all of the maps that he showed us.
Mm-hmm.
I got all those in the scans today. So I can bring those up and put them on the screen at the next workshop meeting and
yeah.
we can talk
okay.
about it so we have the actual plans in front of us.
So at the next meeting, he's going to bring the schematics up, and then we're going to, that will be our workshop meeting, not our actual trustee meeting. And we'll try at that point to make a decision on how we're going to handle it from there. Because we do have the maps, we do know how the water flows, and by then we should have their plan for us to try to fix the problem. I would hope, since they were so good about getting it to us this quickly, I think that maybe they'll be a lot quicker on helping us this time as well.
Another suggestion that they made when we were out there was to potentially contract with a plumber
yes.
and get cameras in some of these pipes and see if there's a blockage somewhere, if something's collapsed, if something, so that at least we know or have a better idea potentially of what's going on, if there's any issue there with all the pipes that run under the entire subdivision from the catch basins. So that's another option that they suggested.
We've done that before.
And they said if we needed to jet something out, that would reveal it at that point.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that we knew it was clogged. We asked Viola when they came. I think Viola did it. Maybe it was somebody else. They had a camera first and then jet, and then they camered it.
And then we can jet it. Okay. And then, so I am drafting a letter right now back to the county engineer's office, basically asking them to give us grading and elevation estimates for Winter Hill and Newberry. Mm-hmm. So that's all will be a part of that. And that will help give us a better idea of what we need to do and how we need to do it with their technical expertise. Mm-hmm. So
great.
Those are two of my takeaways from that.
So I have a couple of questions. So one is that, we talk about building new houses and adding on garages and putting barns out in the yard. Mm-hmm. So every time that happens, that adds to the impervious surface that now water cannot penetrate, meaning we have even more runoff.
Right.
So maybe we don't allow additional barns and stuff in that area? Is that even possible?
I mean, it could be, but, again, a lot of the problem is, as Beth alluded to, well, I'm not speaking for you, I'm just repeating, a lot of the yards, the culverts have been closed in. And
right, but it's already in a low-lying area. I get that. I'm just asking, maybe that's another part of a solution, is that we look at that as well.
You could since we're thinking of changing the zoning code, change it to a percentage of lot coverage as X percent of impervious surface.
Right. We have that already, but it's very,
very
high.
Large.
It's like 80% on residential.
Well,
80% impervious surface?
That's for industrial.
That's industrial. It's still pretty high, though.
Well, industrial is completely different, but for residential?
It's really high.
It's not that high, but let me see.
I'm most curious about how the engineers are going to handle all that water that comes off that field.
Well,
you don't have any jurisdiction over that, and you can't make a farmer put tiles in his field or whatever, or you can't put a drain basin back there or whatever. How's it going to deal with a lot of water? How are we going to...
We're not. You're absolutely right. We can't. We can do is take care
of like
water
November,
once it exits that field.
And then March and April.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get flooded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're
twice
right.
Twice in 3 days, we're going to flood.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I believe we talked about that as well. I can't force them, and we can't force them as a township to put new tile in and to carry the water away.
I'm just curious how it's going to handle it.
I don't know, but right now I think the clearest way to handle it is to get the culverts back in and get the catch basins open and, let's work with that, because we know that in the past we've had that and it seemed to have worked for a while. It wasn't nearly as bad as it is right now, I don't think. I mean, I've lived here 40-some years. We've been married today 47 years now. Hopefully you won't listen to this tonight, because I can't even remember how long I was married.
2004, and that's when the tile going over on 202.
Yeah.
And it was twice as bad. I mean, it went through our breezeway up this
almost
much.
Okay.
House.
Like this much being into our house.
Okay.
Okay.
Was that on a regular basis, or was that just a
fluke?
That was
like
that
a
tile.
Hard rain.
So
for
that
like
is one big
days.
Tile that
okay.
needs to be made. It needs to be just made sure that it's open.
Yeah. So Jerry did, and I know this because I've talked to enough of you. Jerry Hurt did airshoot that line all the way to Wyndham. I believe that you guys told me that, so I have no reason to doubt it.
It's clear because it will drain.
Yes.
It just can't keep up. It's an 8-inch pipe. It should be 24-inch. It's not there, and nobody's. From what I get, nobody really cares of what, nobody wants to do it because it costs so much.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So I live with it. I've been living with it for 20 years.
Well, I get that. I get what you're saying. But, our responsibility, as I told you guys, and that's based upon what Beth has said in the past has happened, is that we take care of what's under the street. We pay for the jetting of what's under the street. But since it's been done over to Wyndham previously,
And I need to look at the records and see about that.
Well, because we jetted it underneath Newberry, and then we continued because we didn't have to do that, but we did because there's no sense unclogging it for 20 feet if you're just going to re-clog, if it's just clogged up. There is a process called a ditch petition. I'm sure Kama has shared that with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the township can enter in as a partner. If a township or any, if a township pays over 25% of the cost of a ditch petition, that's not our responsibility. Say, the way the ditch petition works is it says you have 10 property owners, the township's one of them, and everybody's responsible for 10% of the cost. Okay, great, we all are in for $10 of the $100 project. But then we as the township say, hey, you know what, residents, we feel your pain, we want to alleviate that, we're gonna kick in $50 on top of our 10. If we contribute more than 25% over and above our required amount, then we are required to maintain that ditch in perpetuity. And as a township, I can't commit future township trustees to be responsible for a ditch just in your neighborhood and in nobody else's. So that is definitely something to consider, but there is a ditch petition process. The county's done it multiple times, and I'm sure that is something that Kama will be sharing with you in the future as this goes along. And it could be that we just ditch the ditches in front of your homes, make you sign a paper that says, I'm never filling this in a million years, and maybe that helps it. I don't know how many 4-inch tiles are out there under people's driveways or curbs covered in.
Newberry is so flat. From that small grade, it's so flat. That water's just, you can put swales in, mm-hmm. and the water's just gonna sit in the swale.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gonna
unless there's a drain in front of everyone's home.
Yeah.
And of course that will give them an opportunity to pump their sump pump into
the
gray water.
Right? But there has to be enough fall. And that's what the engineer will get with them. That's the numbers I'm looking for, is the fall.
That's our big goal, is to try to figure out how to carry the water away. And, you know, I did talk to the county engineer as well about some potential grants for storm sewer on Newberry. And he did give us a couple of things to kind of look at, but wasn't very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice if we could put curb and gutter and storm sewers in on that side of the road as Wyndham has, but I don't see that's a feasibility that at this point that, you know, we can have for fixing the problem. I think that the simple fix or the quickest fix to try to help the problem is going to be the culverts and opening up the catch basins and or maybe installing a couple new ones. That's, I think, is going to be the quickest fix and maybe the simplistic fix. But it's, again, if we could get a grant, or, you know, something along those lines to where we wouldn't have to foot the bill and we wouldn't have to be responsible for it forever, then maybe we could look that direction as well. But at this point, they didn't seem encouraging about it. So we did talk. We tried. So
my other question is, I know you're talking about having them sign a paper that they won't do this, but
mm-hmm.
I can't see how that's going to be effective because people are doing it now. So how do we get it so that the citizens that live there, whichever ones are doing it, stop filling in the culverts?
Well, you have to apply for a permit to mm-hmm. fill in your culvert.
Mm-hmm.
You have to apply. Theoretically, probably people don't.
Right.
But you have to apply for a permit through the county to do that, and it would just be flagged in their system that no permit is required.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe anybody probably ever got a permit there. So.
Well, one of our guys did get a permit, and
they said they did.
They did get a permit, and the county engineer confirmed that when he came out, and he said, in fact, the one, not Britt, but the other guy, Dan, said he was the one who came out and told him not to put the 4-inch pipe under the drive, and they did it anyway. So what's the recourse of that? And then, you know, what is, we're back to where we are with the other zoning things about we have to go after an attorney and go after them ourselves. So
Or can they go after them in civil court?
Yes. if you, anybody can, yeah. If they impede the water flow and it floods their neighbor, yeah, they can. So, but again, the goal here is to try to move as much water as we can from Newberry to Ross and over to Windham. And that's the goal. And to try to not inconvenience anybody, but it is going to be an inconvenience to those who have filled in their culverts, or, you know, and because they're going to have to be opened up, and those that don't have 12-inch pipes, and, you know, that's going to have to be done as well. So it's probably something that a lot of your neighbors are not going to be happy about, that have their nice flat yards, but again, it's something that has to be done. So, and it's, you know, we'll have to get the ditch petitions together, as Beth said, and we'll have to present them to all the neighbors, and everybody's going to have to just get on board, because we can't continue to have as much water laying in that particular subdivision as we do. We just can't. I mean, it's a danger.
It's coming off the field. It's coming off the field. Walk the field.
So that would be part of the ditch petition, would be to get that property owner involved. Mm-hmm. And that property owner, because your percentage in a what you pay for in a ditch petition is the percentage of water you contribute to the flow.
Mm-hmm.
That property owner is going to be responsible for a lot, and they're not going to be happy, so then they're not going to want to participate. And so that's where the township would step in and say, hey, we will contribute some for the good of the order. I don't know what some is. I don't know that amount. But then they could either build like a detention pond or retention pond or a big
swale. If they were to build that plot, that Newberry today, there would be a retention pond up there in that field. Mm-hmm. Probably had 1 acre.
Yeah, if the person who had owned Newberry Windham also owned that other field. I don't know.
I don't mean to be redundant. Yeah, I've said it over and over again. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's good. But
the problem is starts in that field.
No, yeah. And I'm really curious. It's clear. You can look at the GIS maps and see the wet spots. They're all along the back of all those properties there. Like, it's, you know that it's draining there. But as you said, people are pumping their sump pumps into the ditch, and so that's also contributing to it. And that water's coming off of there. It has to go somewhere. And previously, it had gone to where your homes were, and now we're trying to reroute it. But the putting a big swale in the back, which would be a dry pond or a detention pond, and then feeding that to one or two locations, i.e. down to Ross and then down to the drainage, big drainage tile in the back, might be the solution. I don't know. I'm not the engineer in charge of this project, but that would revolve. I mean, all these projects are going to involve getting that large property owner to do something. So.
Yeah, and since the property's for sale, he may not. And that's the other fallback that we have. So, you know, he may not want to contribute anything. He just may, you know, say, hey, this is it. And at that point, you know, what do we do at that point?
Well, so there's two types of ditch petitions. There's a voluntary one where all the property owners say, I want to participate. And then there's the involuntary one, which is the 10 of you say you want to and three property owners say no. And that process is more cumbersome because it's not voluntary. And but all of these ditch petitions are assessed to your taxes. So a voluntary one or an involuntary one. So even if your bill was $1,000, you're not getting hit with $1,000. It's generally for like $1,000, like 5 years. So it's put on your tax bill, $200 over 5 years, something like that. But the involuntary one just has a lot more steps. The county commissioners have to get involved and things like that. But they function in the same way. So, all right.
We're done with this one?
Yep. Unless they have questions, you have anybody else?
Not until the engineer comes back.
By the business meeting, we should have that report. And once we have that report, we'll put it up here and it'll be very informative.
Does anybody on Windham, do they say they get water? Or do they, Because not, I know it goes through our yard, and the people behind it, which live on Wyndham, their property is flooded too, and it goes down their driveway and across that road.
Well, this year, since I'm only 14, 15 months in, okay, the only complaints I've had about water in anywhere in the township has been West Charleston Road, Bethelville, and Year Platte. That's it, and only on Winter Hill and Newberry. Nothing on Wyndham. So, you know, I can't speak to what is going on over there because they haven't called me. Most of you I've talked to at some point, and there's some that I have talked to that are not here tonight that have complained about it as well. And they've even called the county. So this is an ongoing problem with that particular area of Winter Hill subdivision, the Newberry side and where it makes the turn there on Winter Hill.
The water goes away. It goes away fast, I think. In a couple of days, it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
My
catch basin catches up after about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, you're looking at 12 inches of water on a road, and then you go get a sandwich and come back and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there, and the whole 2/3 of your yard.
Okay, okay, okay.
And people driving through there.
Systems might help.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hit them as fast as I can.
They're gonna.
I've watched them so many.
It's like the water goes.
yeah.
And they just fly right through it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for coming very much. We appreciate the input.
I just have to say, like, my house is right in front of that big pond in the field.
Right.
And several years ago, when we put our catch basin in, my neighbor, the one between us, and I actually went in together because
mm-hmm.
they had major flooding too. And we contacted the owner of the property. I don't know if it's the same one. This has probably been about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused to
mm-hmm.
participate. I don't know if it's the same person. So we put our basin in, and we have, I think it's a 12-inch pipe, 10 or 12 going to the catch basin that we talk about.
Right.
And it can't keep up. When it pours, it can't
yeah.
keep up with what my basin is.
Well, it's all going into the one in front of my house.
In front of your
up.
House.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I was told to do. Because I was I contacted the trustees and the township back then. And they said, same thing, get it to the road. Then
mm-hmm.
it's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. But the road can't keep up. And it's so bad. Those 2 days, there's times I can't flush my toilet because my entire leach field's covered in water. We've had backup, we've had insurance claims. I'm tens and tens of thousands of dollars into this flooding issue. And
you're right, they've got it right in their backyard.
Yeah, and there's
I'm on the edge of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, it's like a pond. We have ducks, and like I said, I have to go to my parents' house to shower an adult because we are scared to send anything to our septic.
I got water in my basement for the first time this year because it rained and flooded twice in 3 days.
Yeah.
And my sump pump.
Couldn't keep
up. My sump pump goes to that catch basin, and it couldn't push any more water.
Mm-hmm.
It's just filled up, the sump pump. My sump pump was running. I was getting
water. There's a program called, you can Google it, it will, USGS, United States Geological Survey, stream stats. It's all one word, stream stats. And it's a little convoluted to use, but zoom in on your area and you'll see these little blue lines. Pick a point on a line, which is it's a stream. It's a water. It's a ditch. It's a stream. But if you pick that point, you will see the entire basin that goes to that point. And it's kind of interesting. You can see from your house. Probably your house is getting it like this,
mm-hmm.
and probably but 3 or 4 houses down, maybe they're only getting it like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a pretty good tool to at least. It doesn't take into account ditches that have changed the flow, but it does show you what the natural flow of the water should be.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is it called again?
Stream stats. It's all one word, and it's not steam pump because I like to whole something else, but
mm-hmm.
it's stream stats, and it's type in USGS stream stats.
Okay.
And it's a little funky. You're gonna have to play around with it a little bit to figure out how it works, but it takes a while. Every time I go back on, I'm like, oh, how does do it work again? But it's very helpful, I think, to figure out where your flow is coming from in your.
Well, we know our flow is.
Well, I know, but to see the amount of it and or yeah.
I can look out my window and see. I know. I just wanted to, you know, I appreciate any help you guys can give us. It's very hard.
It doesn't help the fact that, you know, that area in general is on a high water table. So, you know.
I don't know, and I would not be living there. I can tell you that right now.
I know. We had that discussion.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still a beautiful place. So, you know, you have a beautiful place. So, you all do. I mean, it's a nice neighborhood. And I just think that if we can start with opening up the ditches and if we need another, and Julie's even mentioned cistern. So, you know, maybe if we look at all things, maybe we can effectively do something that might help you. And that's the goal, is to try to help you. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball to tell me exactly what is going to happen, but
I think we worked it over pretty good. Not much left.
Okay. So next up is we're going to add a discussion item. Mrs. Fortunato has done some research on the healthcare insurance and okay. wants to give us some of the answers that we had questions on from last week.
Okay. And I just sent an email to all of you regarding all of this, but I talked to Molly at SIBO last week. About several of the concerns that were brought up. The first one was about having to possibly pay additional costs if we went over the estimated claim. I guess there's a backup policy called a stop loss policy that would prevent that from happening.
And how much is that policy?
But,
nothing's free.
But she did send it all in writing, and I did attach that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it didn't give like a dollar amount. It mm-hmm. just said there is a stop loss policy. And of course, if the claim costs are less than the estimated claim costs, then one half of the 2/3 of that that's left over would go back to the township.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing was about whether doctors would be covered. She stated that she would be happy to research any doctors for us. If any of you wanted to submit a list to her of your doctors, she asked for their names and their specialties, and they would research those. But she said Aetna comprises 98% of doctors in the state of Ohio and every hospital system, and overlaps with Anthem by 92%. So, what was that?
So can we read through this and then talk about this at the next workshop?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to see how much that stopgap policy is, just before we commit, but I appreciate you doing all this work.
Yeah, we're not committing tonight. She was just wanting to give us some answers so that you can go do whatever research and also provide a list of your doctors if you want to do that.
Yeah.
And you had some other numbers too, right?
And then as regards open season, that was one of the questions. We don't really have an open season per se. It's, I guess, when we sign up for a policy, those numbers are good for 1 year. However, we can sign up for a new policy anytime. There's nothing that stops us from getting new quotes at any time during the year. The only requirement is that the old insurance has to have a 30-day notice that we will be leaving them.
Okay.
And that was it. And then lastly, it would save almost $11,000 over a 12-month period, with the potential for thousands more at the end of the 12 months if we got some of that money back.
Uh-huh.
And of course, if we added more employees to the policy, then those savings would only go up.
So but we're talking Cody, Beth, Julie, and Eric. So for the four of you. So you guys would need to have your your doctor's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I included Eric and Cody this time on the email, so.
Great.
Everybody involved. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Next, we have public comments on items on the agenda.
So the only public comments I have for agenda items are on Winter Hill Drainage.
We've talked about it.
I just want to make sure everybody had an opportunity.
I'm done.
You're done.
Okay.
You're
I think we're safe there.
Let's hope not.
Okay.
We're gonna fix as much as we can. So don't. Don't be discouraged.
I'm just waiting for the engineer to show up in his clown suit. See how he's gonna deal with all that work.
Okay, then
just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, I know.
That brings us then to the action items. Ms. Fortunato.
Resolution.
Yeah, the resolutions.
Okay. Resolution number 25-05-042, a resolution to replace no parking signs in Wiley Industrial Park.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Motion.
I move a second resolution 25-05-042.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any discussion?
Nope.
All right, call the vote, please.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yep.
Motion carries 3-0.
Okay, resolution number 25-05-043 is a resolution to discontinue sales of burial sites in Bethel Township cemeteries.
Do I have a motion?
Motion.
A second resolution 25-05-043.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion?